Welcome to Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast, where we discuss everything and anything in the digital film world, which includes television shows, Blu-rays, the latest electronics, anything and everything to do with digital or film. So kick back, relax for the next hour or so, and enjoy Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast. Welcome to Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast, special podcast reviewing
Breaking Dawn Part 2.
My name's Ruben.
And this is Sherry.
And welcome back. Not too long ago, I did a podcast all by myself. I actually was able to talk and fill about an hour of talk time. Everybody found it boring, threw up, ran away.
And now I'm back.
I don't want to say we. I would say more you are back from this long day of waiting with fans. You sat for over 12 hours.
With the fanboys. Yes, I did. And it was great. We had best time ever. I think it's always cool to be with the fans.
I think so. I think a lot of people question, why do you go at why do you stay there all day? You know, why do you, it's communal. It's an event. It's kind of like, why do you go to Comic-Con?
Because right, well,
everybody is able to share the same. And it's rare that a group of hundreds of people go to one event and like the same thing usually. So it's kind of cool, I think.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there's people out there that obviously, you know, they don't understand, so of course they're not going to get why we do this and why we love it. That's what makes dorks dorks. I mean, I enjoy
it. It's the experience. It's not about, you know, you don't have to sit there and wait. Well, you know, you kind of do. If you have a midnight ticket, if you don't grab your place in line, you're going to be
in a seat looking way up at the freaking screen,
or
you're gonna
have
a bad neck after you're done, and you won't get a good viewing because you'll be stuck at the very front row. So I mean, definitely it's worth it, especially I like being around all the fans.
Yeah, that's I think what it is the experience, talking to people, getting to know new people that like the same thing you like. And you know, I can't do it anymore. I mean, I just can't. I don't have it in me. It's too exhausting to sit on the fucking floor, and I'm just, you know, 33 years old. I'm done with midnight shows unless, like today, like, you know, you held my seat, so I kind of just show up there like 5 minutes before the movie starts.
Yeah, if it's something that it's worth to me sitting in line that long, then yeah, I'll definitely do it. But it has to be something I really want to do.
But it was kind of cool. You and your daughter went there. You and Faith.
It was really fun. I wasn't so bored.
Ate some fish and chips. And
although when I took a nap, I think she was a little bit bored, but she did the same thing, so we were even.
Okay, so let's get down. Like I said, you know, this is the last time I think I'll announce that anytime you hear a podcast, it's full of spoilers. We're not even going to bother saying spoilers. So if you know us, if you don't want to know anything about what happened in Breaking Dawn, shut us off now, which I think we just shut off everybody. If you really want to know what we thought and every detail, what they kept in the books, what they didn't, what they kind of veered off in, what the twist was, if you want to know everything, go ahead and keep listening. Here we go.
If not, turn off.
Yeah, so like I said, anytime you listen to us and we review anything, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. So
yeah. Exactly.
All right, so Breaking Dawn, what'd you think?
Oh,
Part two
was amazing. Definitely, definitely not disappointed. I think they did really good when they changed the story up a little bit at the end. I think they really did a good job.
It felt different than even the first one. Even though it was the same director, it felt like a completely different story.
Yeah, it did.
It was filmed a little bit differently. It was lit a little bit differently. It was completely different kind of tonality. The tonality of it was like a completely different movie, which kind of was good because I like when from start to finish, it kept going and kept your interest. It wasn't, with Twilight, I gotta say, like, I've seen them all with you, and there are a lot of slow parts.
Yeah,
There are
there
just like
is.
parts that fucking drag and drag and drag. And then, you have your good parts. But I think with this one, I think this one for me has the most rewatchability in terms of action
Yeah, breaking down one
and
and
story.
two definitely have the most rewatchability. I mean, I'm a like twihard. I like every single one, so of course I'll watch all the movies, but the one that I'll watch the most would be Breaking Dawn 1 and 2. Definitely.
Definitely after seeing this one, I think that they mesh well together as a whole story. What I would like to see is it being put on one would I, they'll never do it, but what would be put on one Blu-ray without any cuts, like
That would be great.
with like
Yeah.
mix one and two without any cuts,
Yeah, but we know they're not gonna do that. But
but it picks up where
I'm pretty sure they'll do a whole collection though. And that is what I'm waiting for. Like, I have all the movies that are out, but I'll still get the collection.
Yeah, so it starts where the other one left off. I mean, it's got a huge opening credit sequence. A lot of people complain, like, let's get to it, but I like the opening sequence.
No, I like that they
The title sequence was
acknowledged
good.
everybody. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's.
it was, this kind of CG frost. Everything was turning into frost, red, blood red and frost, and kind of giving the indication of things to come, more or less. But they went through the producers and all this other thing. Yeah, they did a whole opening title sequence. It was pretty cool. And then they got to it. She opens her eyes like at the end of part
Yeah, it
one.
just she opens and there you see her red eyes, and
She sees Edward
then
and
she looks
da-da-da.
around the room and she's like, it's like zooming and she's seeing every detail of everything and sees Edward, and it's,
Yeah,
I
they hit
think
the
they
floor running. They
really,
didn't really like from the moment she opens her eyes, I mean it's
no, it's,
going. Like it
yeah.
you don't stop. It doesn't like let's get there. Let's no,
It doesn't linger like you're waiting forever. It's consistent. Yeah.
Okay, so then what happens after?
After that, she embraces Edward, and she doesn't realize that she's now stronger than he is right now. So he kind of has to let her know, hey, you're stronger. You need to relax a little bit more because you can actually hurt me.
Yeah, and then she asks about Renesmee, but he wants her to hunt first to get her thirst under control. So they go off running. So they have a sequence where they're running through the forest, running through the forest. Anyway, but
Which is a good scene. I like how they slow-motioned Bella when she was running,
oh yeah,
because she got to
they
see
do
the
her
flower and
kind of
everything.
POV
Yeah.
of what she's seen and how she's seen, which was kind of cool because you never really get to see what a vampire sees in these movies or how they experience things, and you were able
Yeah,
to
this is
s
actually the first one I've ever seen that has actually explained or
how they
shown
see,
you
how they
what
see
they
everything,
see.
yeah.
Yeah. So I thought
So
that
they
was
have
good.
this little race off and whatnot, and she follows him, and then like, they see a deer, but then lo and behold, she gets a whiff of some sort of mountain climber
Yeah, that.
that has a cut on his wrist, and then she goes chasing after him, and then right before she's gonna go munch on him, Edward, what, tells her,
Kind of tells her, hey, don't
don't
do
do this.
this. I'll help you. And she said she had to get out of there, so she leaped off and.
Leaped off this cliff, and then, like, he's all with a smile, like, I guess not. So, and then, like, what else happened? She, oh yeah, she's about to attack the deer
And
for her
then
first kill.
she notices the, I think it's a bobcat, I think.
Cougar?
Something, yeah, I
Some
think a
shit
cougar,
like that.
yeah. And
So yeah, she
definitely
notices
caught.
an old lady, an old hot old lady, a
Yeah,
cougar. No,
really.
so she goes for that, sinks her teeth into that, and then cut to them walking what back home and Jacob.
Yeah, and then she said that, oh, you're still here, And she didn't realize that Jacob still waited. And he greeted her and said that she still looked like herself, except for, creepy eyes, which I think they're actually badass. But, and then she wanted to see Renesmee, but Jacob's like, well, why don't you try and
sniff me first kind of
Get
thing
used to me first before you go
before it's safe,
under.
because Renesmee is half human, so
And so
she
then
has
she's
blood running
hesitant
in.
and
So she's like, since
wondering.
when do you care about Renesmee?
Yeah.
And obviously she doesn't know at this point that he's imprinted on
Yeah,
her,
not
which
yet.
sounds so dirty and wrong.
It does, but when they explain it, I mean, if
It's
you can get past it,
still
yeah.
kind of creepy, but
Yeah, I'll give you that. It is.
anyway, so she smells him and she says that he stinks because, he's a wolf or whatever. Anyway, so what happens
Then they
after
go back in
that?
the house
Go
to
back in the
meet
house.
Renesmee. And everybody's hovered around. They turn around and welcome her to the family. And
So to cut it short, I guess she meets her daughter, finds out, like in the book, that Jacob's imprinted on her, and like this
so
was
she
kind of
kind
cool.
of beats him up a bit. That was
This
good.
to me was Kristen Stewart's best acting, because when I saw her, she was like really angry with him, and the way she displayed it was
Like it was really.
like there's an actress right there. Like
Yeah.
there's where the fuck was this actress? Like it
I
kind
think it all deals with the director. You know, honestly, I
No,
think.
it was I think because she had to play a vampire, she played it really well, and it's a character.
True.
I think that she just chose to play Bella very wrong, I think.
She might have. Yeah, I think a little bit of that, and maybe around those lines. Maybe one of the directors had maybe said something and it might have snapped to her and
But
she
you
would have
do get
been
to
like.
see everybody actually in this movie for the first time, and that was another sigh of relief that the other Twilight movies didn't have, because the other Twilight movies, all you see is Jacob one-dimensional characters. I think that Jacob's brooding,
Over, yeah.
Edward's brooding, Kristen Stewart's just biting her lip all the time and uncomfortable. And for the first time, you see everybody kind of being like
Themselves
enjoying to be, yeah,
comfortable.
like and stretching their acting skills. They were
Yeah.
able to act. I totally bought Bella as a newborn vampire more than I ever bought
Oh,
her as a
yeah.
human,
Yeah.
and that's where I saw the actress come out, and it was very impressive, especially like I said, that scene with between her and Jacob after she
Yeah,
found
she
out.
did portray a very protective mother that was angry, and she did. Really well with it. Like she grabbed Jacob by the neck and threw him out the house and was pissed off and
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Well, it's kind of like intense and funny at the same time, because the family wants to stop it, but Edward's like, no, let them work it out. He's like, she's awesome, isn't she? Or stuff like
yeah,
that.
Edward
So.
was like, you know, lovely smile on his face. But yeah, that was definitely a good part. Another good part was when finally, you know, Emmett wants to bring it on with Bella and arm wrestle and
Okay, but yeah, that happens a little bit later. Let's get to the part where Charlie's calling. Apparently he's been calling every day trying to find out what's going on with her. So the family devises this plan of, okay, well, eventually we're gonna have to tell him you didn't make it, and he's gotta grieve, and we gotta move, and then
yeah.
like we'll come back 100 years later when everybody's dead, and we'll
And
come back to
so
Forks. And then
Jacob didn't like that idea, so he took it upon himself to go to Charlie
show
and
him in a very comedic way. It
yes.
was kind of funny. He starts stripping down in front of Charlie in the
And
forest,
Charlie's like not understanding why he's like taking his clothes off right there.
and
But
it's funny because the movie, this movie, for the first time, becomes self-aware of itself, where it kind of pokes fun at itself with Jacob taking his clothes off and them saying this is getting a little weird, so it's kind of funny. But so transforms into a wolf in front of Charlie, and then so Charlie knows that she's changed into what, he doesn't know.
yeah, it's pretty much a need to know basis. And he's
So he goes and
obviously,
visits Bella for like
yes,
two
to make sure she's okay and she's alive and to try and get answers to what was going on and what happened with her. And
So there's a montage there of, putting black contacts on her eyes, and they're teaching her how to
to
pretend to be
sit,
human,
yeah.
to act human, and then he shows up, and then they're concern is that because she's a newborn, she's gonna wanna sink her teeth into Charlie. So, but you know, she restrains herself very well, and that's when Emmett says, "I don't even think she's a newborn. She seems pretty tame," or whatever. And then they arm wrestle, and then she kicks his ass. And
You know, that's another part though. When she was sitting there with Charlie, she did very well with her acting there too, because you can tell that she changed, that she's not in her human comfortability, where she's sitting kind of awkward, like she doesn't know how to quite
yeah.
position herself. And he can kind of get that something's different, but I thought that was pretty good too.
So they tell her about Renesmee, and I don't think Charlie buys for a second that it's an adopted, because he says she has your eyes. But you know, kind of, you get the sense that he accepts what he sees. He accepts what's going on, and he kind of knows that Renesmee is different, because later on in a scene, way before, like, she's grown like 6 inches or whatever. I guess there's this acceptance without knowing fully. I'm sure that eventually they told him or something like that.
You know, we don't know.
Yeah, because it's never clarified in the book that, but I'm sure that
But if you
he.
think about it, I mean, I'm pretty sure they eventually told him. I'm pretty sure he could handle it. If he can handle Jacob, he'll be able to handle Bella and the whole Renesmee situation. But
Okay, so Renesmee, Jacob, and Bella are catching snowflakes and gay shit like that?
that's later. They're actually in the house, and they got a present from the family, the house.
Oh,
So they go to
they
check
got
out the
the
house.
Alice, well, everybody, not just Alice, I can't. Alice
The whole family.
hands her the key, but the whole family comes back, and I guess they've been building a house or whatever for her and Edward, and just like in the book, the
And they had
Alice
this
shows
like
her, and
big, beautiful love scene after they, take a tour of
yeah,
the
they actually get
house,
to fuck without like holding
worrying
back.
about hurting each other. Yeah.
So, and that's also referenced in the book, in the not in the book, but in the movie. So that's kind of funny. So going on from there,
end up.
that's when it kind of goes to the snowflake area almost, right? I'm sure we're skipping some stuff,
They
but
go back to the house, the big house, and
sorry, I wasn't paying attention that much.
they're all gathered around, and that's when Alice has her vision and says that.
No. The snowflakes. They had to be catching the snowflakes. That's where Irina sees her. Renesmee like flying or some shit. I don't know
She
what the
was
fuck was she doing.
levitating in a certain
Or jump, I don't know
height
what it
to
was.
grab a snowflake, and yeah, that was pretty cool. I
And then
didn't think
like
she could do that, but that was
this
cool.
fucking Irina chick sees it from a distance. She thinks it's an immortal child.
So she goes running back to the Volturi,
But
and
before Bella can get to her, she's runs away like a blonde weirdo. And anyway, so that happens. They're playing the piano while Edward
Renesmee are playing the piano, everybody's listening.
and that's when Alice
Alice drops the vase and
has her
has
vision
her
of the
vision.
Volturi. And then Edward figures out, okay, well, you know, this bitch saw, she thinks he's an immortal child, and I guess that's, you know, against the law, and it's punishable by death. And so that's kind of leads the snowball rolling into the inevitable confrontation that we know. So I guess we can skip a couple of things where, you know, I mean,
I mean, they basically just brush up on their skills
well,
to.
they're trying to gather witnesses, like in the book. And like, if you read the book, it plays out the same way. Much faster than the book, obviously,
Well,
because
yeah.
you know it's a movie, so you have to kind of speed things up but yeah, they gather witnesses and all from all around the world. They have them in the house, Renesmee touches them, and then they kind of figure out that she's half human, half immortal, and everybody's just, "We'll stand with you, we'll stand witness. If we have to fight, I guess we'll fight, blah blah
Behind
blah blah
you.
da 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 da." And So finally we get to the Volturi part, and Aro has gathered his witnesses, and it looks like about 100 witnesses or some shit.
Yeah,
It's
something like
kind of funny
that.
because there's a shot where it's an establishing shot where you see the Volturi's numbers and you see the Cullen's numbers, and it's
The
kind of funny because
Cullen's
it's like it looks like such a small group compared to
Yeah.
what the Volturi have.
Yeah.
And they talk once again, like in the book. Arrow sees calls forth Edward. He does his gay touching hand
Sees
and
everything.
then asks for Nessie.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
And
what happened
when
there.
she comes forth, Jacob, Emmett, and Bella obviously escorting her to him, and he puts out his hand. She decides to,
Touch his face, right?
she touches the face to let you know, hey, this is what happened. This is what I've seen.
So at this point, he kind of like is amazed, and but at the same time, I guess they're concerned about this child, especially now with humans and their technology says that, can kill us, and keeping our secret is very
Imperative,
imperative. And
yeah.
so they're concerned that what danger does this child pose? And so once again, still it's they consider it
They
a
feel it's
somewhat
a
of a threat.
threat, right?
So what? Alice and
And
Jasper
since they
show
were
up?
gonna fight anyway, that's when Alice and Jasper showed up, and she went up to him and says that I can prove that she is no danger. And then along came these two from Brazil
No, no,
that
no, 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 no. She goes. Don't skip. She goes. She touches his hand or whatever, and then she says, "Well, it doesn't matter what I show you. It doesn't matter what I show you. You're still gonna kill us or whatever." And then they
Yeah,
start
it's not gonna
fighting.
change your mind.
So they take Alice captive, and Carlisle gets angry and says, "Let her go." And then he's running, right? Well, first they kill Irina, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, for bearing false witness or whatever.
right.
And then they have to kind of contain her sisters because they don't want to fight. So, like I said, they separate Jasper and Alice, and Alice is being held captive. More than likely, they're going to kill her, and I guess Carlisle won't have it, so he runs towards them and Arrow, and they're like leaping into the air, about to hug each other and make out. And he slips him the tongue unexpectedly. Nah, he lops his head off.
He kills Carlisle.
And then the battle begins, and then so you see this epic battle where everybody's ripping fucking each other's heads off, wolves biting chickens and chickens biting hens and hens biting wait, that's another movie. But yeah, Jasper gets killed, and then they kill Jane and Jane's brother. It's kind of cool. And then Edward and Bella team up to kill Arrow, and lo and behold, that's where the twist is. The panties. The panties. So essentially, that's more or less where you figure out that it was all bullshit. Right?
It was total bullshit. Total.
So explain, as soon as Arrow dies, what happens?
Well, after that, that's when
You realize what?
you realize that it's just the vision that this is what's going to happen to you if you follow through with all this. Is that you're going to die, and everybody's pretty much going to die because you
Yeah,
can't deal
actually,
with
in the
this.
vision, right? Most of the Volturi died, right?
Actually, I think everybody did, honestly. They
Or
didn't
they
finish the
insinuate,
vein.
yeah,
Yeah.
they insinuated at least that they all,
They all were gonna die.
the main guys were yeah.
Right. Same with Jane. Jane got her head ripped
It
off.
was kind of cool because Bella was able to project her protective powers, and it was kind of cool because she was at the time Jane was
She's
trying to hurt, who was running?
Alice. She's
Alice was
trying
running
to.
her towards her, and Jane was trying to do her little hurt power thing, and realizing that Bella was protecting her, Dakota Fanning just starts
She
running
had that
away.
holy shit look on her face and took off running, and that didn't work.
Alice fucking drags her ass towards a wolf, and a
Through,
wolf
I
just.
believe it was Sam that she threw it to,
Yeah, and then Sam bites her head
and
off.
rips her head off. It was awesome. That
It was
was
pretty
great.
gnarly. There were some pretty gnarly deaths, like beheadings and whatnot. So, so then you find out, well, it was a vision. So now he's kind of hesitant to start fighting, and because he knows if he does, he's gonna die.
Yeah.
So, more or less, they like in the book, it nothing happens.
Right. They just did it in a different, I
Yeah,
think,
because
better way.
in the book, apparently. You do, Alice does show him a vision, but it's never clearly stated what she shows him.
Right.
And that's when Arrow says that clearly this child is no threat, and da 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 da, there's no threat here, and then they kind of just take off.
Right. So that's why they obviously for a movie you want to make it more
But in the movie,
epic.
you have that twist where you see what Arrow saw,
Right.
and which I think was done brilliantly, and that's it, for me. A great use of something that doesn't translate very well to book to film.
Right.
Had you not shown that, it would have been very, very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Very, I think that.
And we were wondering that too, what they were gonna do for the longest time, because we're like, how are they gonna produce this ending? You know, because in the book, it's really not that epic. It's not
Yeah, the book plays a
climactic
very,
and.
very bland where, Bella's protecting everybody and nothing comes of it, which now I see. I guess you can translate it to the book where it's like now you kind of have that inside information,
Right.
which would be kind of cool if they came out with a special edition Breaking Dawn Part 2 book where they insert that piece, where Stephanie Meyer writes that piece
I
into it.
wonder if they have.
No, they haven't.
Or if they're going
I don't
to.
doubt it.
That'd
I think they'll just leave it to the movie. But that's a great example where it's like, they saw the problem. They said, okay, this right here, we need something to happen for
be. Yeah.
film. For film, we need something to happen. It can't just be this because it's just gonna be a boring ass piece of shit.
And Stephanie Meyer agreed, and
She wrote it.
she wrote it,
So
and
she has, so.
this is great. I did a good job.
So it's kind of cool because I had told her ahead of time because we love spoilers. We like I explained in my podcast before, we love spoilers. It's like, reading a book and then going to see it for yourself played out and whatnot. But what I loved is just hearing everybody's reactions to all these deaths. They were freaking out. All these girls were like freaking out, and it was kind of funny. So,
Yeah, it was definitely a good time. I really.
because it's kind of funny because you're in on the joke. And that's what I love about spoilers. A lot of people don't understand. Why do you like to be spoilers? Because, you kind of have that little insight that nobody else has.
Yeah, there's times I don't want to, but this, I think this definitely called for it, especially since I've read all the books. I
But once
mean.
again, I think that you were able to see for the first time why I like to be spoiled, because it's you can't really, what's coming, but you don't know how it's going to play out. So
Yep.
it's still knowing but not knowing. It,
You're
once
right
again,
on
it's like
that.
reading a book, and now you understand why I like to
So
be
you
spoiled, so more or
yeah,
less.
you've gotten to understand why I like how I got to read everything
Yeah.
and then watch it, 'cause you didn't read it, but you listened to it. It's the same thing. It's just
Audiobook, yes. It's still reading, fucker. It's
just
lazy reading.
it's just hearing it instead of reading it, seeing it with your eyes.
Hey, you're spoiling my secret here, man.
Hey, it's not a bad secret. I actually did it too. I read it and I listened to it. So I don't know. It just was.
I just like people reading to me, man. I like audiobooks.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of people that like that. Absolutely.
Anyway, so it kind of all ends the same way as in the book. They live happily ever after.
We
And they
gotta
have
tell
this
him.
great montage at the end, that they kind of show everybody that's ever been in the movie.
But there's one thing. They,
For the credits.
Bella, she was able to
Yeah, she was able
shield
to
herself,
shield
use her
herself,
power.
so in a sense, block her own power from Edward. And Edward was able to read her mind, and what he saw was from the moment that they
They
first
first
met
met,
to
yeah.
now. And that's where she kind
Yeah.
of lays that line on
That was great.
where she says, "Look, I've never loved anybody. There has never been something about, this is the greatest love of like I've loved you since the moment I saw you," kind of shit, or something like that. I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it or some shit like that. But and then it kind of just, it has a good send off. I like the credit send off because it kind of does tie it up, and you feel
Yeah.
a sense of a sense of resolve. There isn't anything really left unresolved.
Right.
You also get, a little glimpse of Alice seen into the future, where Renesmee's with Jacob,
And they're
grown up,
happy, and then,
and
there's
everybody's
Bella
happy.
and Edward, everybody hugging and having a good time. So,
So it's kind
yeah.
of cool. I was kind of concerned about that. I was like, how are they gonna really, are they gonna like leave this open in some way? And I was
I don't
really,
feel that they did.
no, I was
No.
concerned,
Yeah.
but I was like, but no,
I
it
agree.
was good.
It
I gotta say that, out of all the Twilight movies, I think this was, like I said, the most rewatchable one, or the most watchable one.
Yeah.
Like, even me, a lot of people ask me, why do you like Twilight? You're a guy, you're a filmmaker, you're this, you're above this. It's like, well, there's that hopeless romantic in me
Yeah.
that is, and I have half a vagina, so I have to feed it. So I have no shame, but I have no shame. I mean, that's why my
No.
wife fell in love with me, because I am at heart a hopeless romantic and a
Right.
sap for certain things, and I have no shame, and there's a place and a time and place for everything, and me
Absolutely.
liking something like this, it just,
There's guys out there that like it too. It's
but
just.
I will say a lot of them dragged on. Like, the rewatchability of these movies is zero to me, especially the first one. Like, I can't get through the first one, the cheesy dialogue. You gotta admit, the first one kind of blows.
Yeah, I don't watch it that often. I think I've seen it maybe three, four times since it's
New Moon is a
been.
little bit more tolerable, but that even drags on. Eclipse, I think, was the most watchable, but
Breaking
even
Dawn was the
that,
most.
Breaking Dawn as an entirety, part one and part two, I
It
think
surpassed
were,
it, yeah.
yeah, if, I think they were directed really well. The cinematography was really good, and I think that out of all of them, I think I enjoyed the Breaking Dawn series the best.
Yeah,
So,
they did really, really good. I no
second one
complaints.
especially, yeah.
No complaints. They did really well.
So now that we spoiled everything, there you go. We'll have another podcast. We kind of just wanted to do this. It's really late. We just
Yeah.
got back from the midnight showing, and we're exhausted. Well, at least I'm exhausted.
We just I promised him and we promised you guys that we would come back
Do a
and
Breaking Down
do
podcast.
a, exactly. So here we are delivering to you guys.
Yeah, our next podcast, which should be probably right after or right before the next Walking Dead episode, because I know that we usually do one before each Walking Dead episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to recap the last Walking Dead episode, and we'll give you our review of Brave, the 3D Blu-ray.
Yeah, because we bought that and we gotta watch it.
Yeah, we haven't
Definitely.
watched it yet, and yeah, and we'll go on from there and see any updates. Have any updates? Not that I can think. I'm so tired right now, I can't even think of anything.
If we do,
It'll
we'll
be the next podcast, so.
exactly. We'll update you.
But yeah, as for this movie, I mean, if you've been into Twilight or even curious about it, or even if you haven't been into Twilight but had to go, I think that if you have to go with your significant other or niece or nephew or whoever takes you to this, I think this one is the most tolerable one. Even for people that don't like it, they'll find at least the battle pretty interesting. So the only thing that threw me off was Renesmee's CGI.
As a baby, I mean, it did throw me off a little bit. I mean,
Yeah, I think they went over budget and kind of.
she was beautiful, but they could
Yeah,
have.
they. I think they kind of didn't have enough money to make her perfect because
Yeah.
you see this face. Because I don't know. You know, just watch it. It's just
Yeah,
weird.
you'll be able to tell just by
They
watching it.
superimposed the kid's face throughout every segment of her life,
Yeah.
from baby to toddler to even th almost the she was barely herself.
Yeah.
The real actress Mackenzie Foy, it was barely herself. I think she had about 15 minutes of screen time total, maybe. In terms of like actually being herself, like
Right.
her without being her face CGI'd to some baby's body or some toddler's body or some woman's body,
Yeah, they
they superimposed. But it was
but the
really
one that was
done.
more distracting was when it was the baby.
Yeah, it was
The other
really
ones
done
were pretty
badly
good,
though.
but the one with the baby, you can tell.
It was done better, I think, in Breaking Dawn Part One when you see her grow, and it
Yeah,
was
that
done
was
way better.
really, yeah, that one was a lot better. Like when he imprinted,
Yeah.
yeah, it was,
That still sounds so
I
wrong, though.
know.
Like, it really does. When you think about it, it's not right. Anyway. But, yeah. So, thanks for stopping by, right?
If you have any comments, I'm actually very curious to see what you guys want to say. So,
Yeah.
let us
Catch us up
know.
on Facebook. We definitely are on iTunes now, as well as
Yes.
you well know, and Podomatic. So just whether you're on iTunes, we have our links on our Facebook page, and obviously this podcast will be embedded on our Facebook page,
Yes.
and so will the link to iTunes. Because what I want to do is I'm usually embed a player into the timeline. So if people just want to listen to it while they're on Facebook, they can just kind of push play there. They don't have to go to
Yeah.
any other sites or anything like that.
Right.
And then I put the link to iTunes there. And if you want to go to iTunes, you guys can just download or subscribe to us. Actually, it'll really help our numbers out a lot if you subscribe to us on iTunes and then kind of download us to your iPods
Yeah,
or whatever.
subscribe,
And
like
yeah,
us, anything.
you can listen to our ramblings, huh?
Exactly. Comment what you guys thought if you watched it. I mean, like I said, I'm curious to see what you guys say. So let us know. Give us some feedback.
Yeah, and we'll be back with another episode of Digital Film next. I want to give a time. I really would love to be
I
more
would say
consistent within the next couple of
five,
days.
yeah,
No,
no more than
before Sunday.
five.
I want to do it before Sunday if possible. Just due to the fact that
So yeah.
Sunday, well, we'll do it, try and do it Sunday night.
So in the next 2 or 3 days, we should probably be
Yeah,
doing another
because we
one.
usually don't watch The Walking Dead until
Sunday night.
Monday.
Monday. Yeah, Monday, because
Well,
when
yeah, Sunday night at like 3 a.m. we watch it because it comes
Right.
on iTunes. We bought the entire season on
Season
iTunes,
pass. Yep.
and we usually kind of watch it on iTunes, avoid all the commercials. We hate cable. Like I said, if it's not on the internet, we don't
We
watch it.
usually don't. Yep, it's
So
true.
we watch. I don't even know why we even have a cable box. No, actually, I
I really
disconnected the
don't either.
cable
Yeah, you
box. Yeah,
did.
because nobody was using it.
Yeah, because I can find even my other show,
Yeah, we were using it
and
as a clock.
yeah, that's it. That's all we were using for was the time. That was
We gotta
it.
call a cable company and get like that extra $10 back.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
Tell them, hey, pick up your
We
box.
don't need it. We don't
I
use
think the only
it.
reason we have basic cables for the kids,
Kids.
for the
Yep.
Disney
So they
Channel.
can watch Disney and Nickelodeon. Yep.
And
That's.
even then, they use the Apple TV a lot. They use their
Yeah.
iPads a lot. So it's
It's all back and forth and everywhere.
Almost
Yeah.
pointless.
I know. The day they don't use it at all, period, like there's no use, there probably would be no point.
Yeah, I'm probably just gonna go straight internet.
I mean, that's how I see it going anyway. I
So
don't
what do you think,
know.
Breaking Down Part 2? I mean, on your scale of everything, I mean, you being the biggest fan.
It's on my top. It's I do not have one complaint about it. The only thing as a starting out as a production company, I think the only thing that I do have an issue with it was the grain. I think that was the only thing that I think they didn't need to do too much of.
It's kind of funny. We'll get into this maybe some other time, but
Yeah.
just to let you know what she's talking about, we've been debating on whether to add
Film grain.
film grain to any of our things that we do, and we've been kind of playing with different footage from different cameras. I'm not going to go into which cameras we've been playing with, but we kind of like the idea of
Coming,
digital
yeah.
being
Clean.
embraced for what it is. I think that there's a tendency to want to make digital look like film, which is fine.
Yeah.
That it should look like film to a certain extent, I think, but I
Yeah.
think the clarity that digital has brings its own aesthetic kind of
Right.
beauty. Like with film, that emulsion, the grain is very organic, and you can tell it's film, and it looks beautiful as film.
Right.
But I think that, you know, stuff like the Arri Alexa and the Red that are starting to come out, these movies that are completely devoid of grain look beautiful in their own right. And
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when we were watching it, I was like, you know, I realized that I like the clean, you know,
Clean
digital look,
image,
and that
yeah.
I've gotten kind of used to lately. Because lately, actually, we've been watching from the
Social
Avengers to the
Network,
Social Network to Prometheus. We recently
Amazing
watched The Amazing
Spider-Man,
Spider, and those were all
yeah.
shot like on the Arri and the Red. And
And they're just
so
all
we I
clean.
just went we went to watch Breaking Down, and like I said, I love film. I you know, for what it is, but
It
I
looks like
think
it
that.
might have been overused, is pretty much
No, they with film, it has its own granularity.
true. Yes, that's true. It's a long
Were
night.
you really the impression that
No,
they added grain to film?
it just it wasn't as clean as I would
Yeah,
have liked it.
I know.
But like I said, people, long night. I mean, 12 hours, was it? It's been a long night. But we had to bring this information to you guys.
So yeah, and you know, digital has its own form of grain, which is
Yeah.
noise, digital noise. But for most of the part, like I said, I'm not saying that film by any way or form is bad. I kind of like the grain myself, but I think that if I were to add any digital grain or any kind of overlay to any of my videos or short films or anything like that, I think it would be if it was like a grindhouse movie or
Yeah.
kind of a movie that called for it.
Yeah.
But I always find that convincing an audience that something that was shot on digital that has grain always kind of comes off like I don't buy it completely. In fact, we've been doing a
Yeah.
lot of tests with Cine Grain and
Yeah.
Gorilla Grain, and we've been trying all these overlays, and Cinegrain comes the closest to looking as natural as possible because they actually take these extracts from real digital film, not
Right.
digital film. Sorry, it has been a long night. They take these grain extracts from actual film, and they have these files, these ProRes files or 4K files to overlay on 4K images like Red
Yeah.
or your DSLR footage. And but I do find it rather false. Like you could always kind of tell like something was shot digitally because it's always so clear, and then you have this grain going on.
Yeah.
And as much as we've tried to make it look convincing as film, I think that my opinion now comes that I should embrace digital for what it
For what it
is,
is.
and not try to make it look like something else. Film will always have that unique look, that emulsion, the organic, beautiful grain. Film has a beautiful look to it. I will always like love film, but I don't think I'll ever in my lifetime be able to afford to shoot film. So I've embraced the digital film media, and digital film has its own unique aesthetic, and I like it. And it's allowed me to create things that I would never be able to create that look cinematic. Not to say that digital doesn't look
No, we're
cinematic.
not like
It's just I
hating on
don't think
it.
that grain is necessary. If you could avoid putting false grain or an overlay of real grain
Then
on top
avoid
of
it. Yeah.
digital footage, I think that you should just try and make your footage look the best it can, because it's
Yeah,
beautiful. I mean,
it
if you
is.
have the right camera, like I said, I'm not going to get into which cameras look the best, because then we'll start this "you're full of shit, this
Yeah.
camera looks like crap" kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm really trying to avoid that. A lot of
Yeah, everybody likes to say like,
I've opened my mouth one too many times
yeah.
on cameras, and I've gotten my head bitten off, and I really just want to avoid that. But there are certain cameras out there that really, I like the aesthetic of it, and it's very in its natural state without anything overlaid and color corrected properly.
Right.
Looks really filmic still, but it's devoid of grain.
Yeah.
But there are some people that love grain and love putting their stuff on grain. I'm not
And
saying,
that's
but
not
I just think that
bad.
for me, I like the look of digital to a certain extent.
Yeah.
If the digital looks, I guess I am gonna have to say it, like the Arri Alexa and cameras like Red, those high price cameras,
Right.
those digital film cameras actually look like some sort of cinematic film.
Right.
But I will say that Sony cameras, from the $7,000 mark on down, have this weird video camera look,
Yeah.
where yeah, it is video, it is a camera, but you know what I'm talking about, this homemade camcorder kind of look still.
Yeah.
Where as opposed to a DSLR or some of Canon's cameras have this kind of filmic, organic, this organic feel, filmic feel almost.
Right.
I hate saying organic, it's just such a cliche. Because the noise in especially like the C300, the digital noise does look, once again, cliche, organic.
Yeah.
To its just like with the Arri Alexa and the Reds, their noise, when it is apparent from what I've seen on different videos online, it does look very, especially the Blackmagic Cinema Camera. I will say
Yeah.
that the noise that comes from that looks actually like natural organic grain.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, but yeah. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling at this point because I'm really tired, but
We could
you
go
get the
on.
idea. Like we have our own preference, and
Just like everybody has their own preference. We're just expressing ours.
I think what you're trying to get at is not that you didn't like the grain on the film. I think that you just wish it was shot on a digital camera,
Yes,
digital film
you got
camera,
it.
like the Arri or the Red or something like that.
You are correct.
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, that's
Once again,
exactly
we're
what
going
I'm
to get our heads
saying.
bitten off by people with this, because there's a lot of people that love emulsion,
Which,
that
that's
love
fine, that's
photochemical. I mean,
great.
if you love photochemical, I mean, I love photochemical, but I think that, I
We're
don't
just saying our opinion, our preference. Everybody has their own preference. It's not a wrong or right. It's just
Yeah, it's our
our own
preference,
opinion.
our own opinion. So
Yeah, that's it.
I love photochemical. There is a place for it, there is a time for it,
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I think that digital film has its own unique beauty too. So,
Yes.
if shot properly and edited and colored properly, like same thing with film. A film can look like shit
Right.
if you don't have the right person behind the camera.
Right.
So digital can look, and in fact, I think digital has more of a danger of looking
Like
crappy
crap if,
if you
yeah.
don't have the right people,
Right.
lighting, and pretty much, if you don't have the right DP, the right director, the right editor, DI colorist, it's going to look like shit. So once again, like if you're trying to create something, it's not about the camera. It's about the people behind the
Behind
camera.
the camera,
You know,
correct.
if your group of people don't know how to light a scene or edit a scene or move the camera in a certain way
That's
or
where it'll be a
direct
problem.
properly, like no amount of money you spend on a camera will save you. It'll just look like a polished turd, as Philip Bloom would put it. A turd is still a turd, except it's polished. Anyway, we'll kind of cut on that note. But yeah, Breaking Dawn, as a guy's point of view with half a vagina, I did enjoy the second part. I didn't feel like it, anything dragged, and there were funny parts, there were self-aware parts, there were dramatic parts, and it all kind of fit pretty well, I
Yep,
think.
I think
I think
so
it wrapped
too.
I think they wrapped it up pretty good.
Pretty,
It
yep.
went by pretty fast too, huh?
Yeah, it did. And in a good way, just they did really well with it.
Yeah, you're waking up early just to see it tomorrow again.
I am. So this is how dedicated I am, people.
I'm a single viewer. Its rewatchability is good, but I'll wait for
I
Blu-ray.
waited for 8 in the morning till 10 at night to watch it, and then I'll be waking up again to watch it at 10 in the morning. So
Not me.
shows my dedication.
I'll be sleeping with a thumb up my ass.
I have a thumb my
I mean, a
ass.
thumb in my mouth. Wait.
What
I don't know. It's
are
late
the other?
now.
It's like we're losing it. Okay.
So, well, this is Ruben
And this is Sherry.
signing off.
Bye.